about.
You are enjoying the miracle of radio. Radio at its finest over frequency modulation.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Anything for love, but I won't do that.
Wow, that is a very savvy analysis right there.
It's Hollywood. It's Hollywood, man.
Remember Paula Abdul?
Kevin, I love you.
I want to find a skinny ass little bitch and make her fat. Then we can lose weight together and we'll bond.
I need to step up. My bowels get very loose in situations like this.
And now.
You know how I know you're top? God damn it. Never mind. I'll call back.
Our feature presentation.
Fail. I like that. I like when you just pull a ripcord. Forget it. I'll be back. I'll try it again a different time.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Bean.
We missed you.
Thank you. I missed you, too. Much rather.
Very sad. Very sad when Lisa's not on the show. I almost wonder if it's worth doing a program if Lisa's not here.
Oh, isn't that nice? Or is that just a bid for more days off?
No, it's true. It's true. I'm very sad. Don't I always mention Kevin when Lisa's out that I miss her and I'm sad?
Almost annoyingly so, yes.
Did you notice anything different when you pulled into the parking lot this morning, Lisa?
I did not, other than I needed help getting in.
You did?
I did.
Why?
I changed purses and I didn't have my pass. What should I have noticed?
Yeah, what should you?
The radio towers that have been out back for the entire time we've been in this building are gone.
Huh, who knew?
Really?
They've been there since 1938, and they took them down yesterday.
Were they not using them anymore?
No, they switched. They switched to another tower. You know, K-Rock never used those towers. It was our previous occupants, but yeah, they finally tore them down. They weren't being used for anything. They were just there. But since 1938 they were there, which I imagine is going to make a huge difference for a lot of people in the neighborhood who kind of use them as a landmark to know which direction they were going or where they were headed or something like that, because they've been there forever.
I actually did use them to get to the radio station a couple of different times when I came in on a different freeway and I got confused and turned around and I just had to look for the towers.
Our person that does traffic is the worst with directions.
Oh my God.
Getting around traffic than anyone I've ever met.
If there's any chance I can go the wrong way,
yes,
I go the wrong way.
Correct.
Always.
How many different GPS devices do you have in your car?
I have 3.
Well, anyway, it is weird having been there for so long.
Yeah.
Let's before we get started here, I do have a story. Hold on, let me take a look. What state is this? I can't tell.
Florida.
I wonder where.
Florida.
Oh, that's right. It is Florida. Jeez, what are the chances? Here's a phone topic we need to do, Kevin. I don't know if it's been a while since we've done this one. I think people who lie to their significant others, boyfriend, girlfriend, family, maybe about what they do for a living.
Oh, good.
Have we done that?
Oh, they lie to people they really know, not just in a bar.
They are people who drop out of college and don't tell their parents, so they still pretend they're going, and then they call home and go, no, classes are fine.
Yeah, I'm doing well.
Pretty soon they're a doctor.
This is a guy who stole a police uniform from his sister's boyfriend and pretended to his live-in girlfriend for 6 months that he was a police officer.
No kidding.
So he would just put it on every day and leave the house?
Yep.
And then go do whatever?
Yep, Christopher. He was working at a Pizza Hut. Christopher Sharp, 37 years old, pretended to be a Pasco County Sheriff's deputy for 6 months in order to impress his live-in girlfriend, according to the Sun Sentinel. He had been working at a local Pizza Hut. Now, I assume he walked out of the house with the police officer's uniform and then had something else in the trunk of his car that he could switch into before he got to the Pizza Hut,
right? I would think so, too, yeah.
He would come home from work wearing his sheriff's office uniform, telling all sorts of stories to his girlfriend, his family, and his friends about what had occurred during his shift. He was providing legal advice to people regarding child custody matters, how to avoid DUI arrest, traffic citations. Apparently, the scam began to unravel at a New Year's Eve party when he was talking maybe too much to the guests about all of the things that he did, and someone found his claims difficult to believe.
Uh-oh.
And there are not much details here, but it says subsequent investigation proved that Sharp was indeed a civilian.
He had a live-in girlfriend, though. It's not like he was trying to impress someone to get her to move in.
I know.
She had already moved in.
That's right.
So you work at a Pizza Hut. You got a job. Bring home some pizza.
Right. He told investigators he had concocted the scheme to impress his girlfriend, but he never actually attempted to enforce laws or pull anyone over. And I thought this was interesting. Bearing in mind that he never pretended to be a police officer in terms of trying to do police things. He just lied about his job. Mm-hmm. He was still charged with impersonating a law enforcement officer and taken into custody on $2,000 bond.
I can see it. It's illegal. It's illegal. You don't
have
I thought it's illegal to pretend to pull somebody over.
I thought it's illegal to pretend to be a police officer and do police officer duties, not just to claim you're a police officer.
First of all, you just said duty. And second of all.
But if he's giving people advice, like.
Yeah, anything.
About tickets and stuff, then I guess he's treading into
that
territory.
Could reflect poorly on the department.
Yeah.
The county sheriff is quoted in the press release calling the man a shining example of someone who makes extremely poor decisions.
Wow.
There you go. By the way, they
a potential playwright.
Yeah, they did break up. By the way, the girl did.
She
broke,
did.
Break
of course, yeah. I would. Much more than if you were working at Pizza Hut and told me that.
Yes.
Right.
Like every day.
Sounds picky to me.
You're not a cop. Are you kidding?
Sounds picky to you.
Yeah.
Bitches be crazy.
Exactly. Thank you. That's my point.
She's just uptight. That's your point.
She's just uptight. That's all.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBee show, shall we?
Well, I'm not crazy about the part where you do something, but I do like the idea of me doing something. Let's give it a shot.
All right, good. We have Rainn Wilson on the show today. He, of course, is Dwight Schrute on The Office.
Yes, I love him.
We have Jimmy Johnson, who just won the Daytona 500 on the program today.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
What a bizarre weekend of racing that was, if you didn't see it. It's unique even for non-race fans.
What a bizarre sport that is.
Yeah, it really is. It really is, yeah.
And I think we forget, I know there are some racing fans in Southern California, you know, especially east of here. But it's huge.
It is.
I mean, hundreds of thousands of people go to watch these races every weekend. It's just insane how popular it is.
We have Nathan Fielder on the program, who has a new TV show called Nathan for You. He's a very funny guy.
Mm-hmm. And, very funny.
And it's a unique show. I haven't seen much else like it, which is fun. And we have Dr. Drew on the program today. Very excited about that as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the showbiz.
Howdy, partner.
Well, how y'all doing?
Did you have to do a cowboy accent?
Well, yeah, it was a cowboy show.
I know, but we do.
Oh, good morning, everyone. How are your horses today?
They have cowboy accents, Kevin?
Well, I'm just saying.
Cowboys were just Americans.
He answered in a cowboy accent.
Yeah, but you throw in a little, twang. Texas or some of the South down there,
right.
You know.
I didn't know where your cowboys were living, but Ralph has been gone for a couple of days filming a TV show where he was playing a real-life you were playing a marshal, right?
US,
riding a horse?
U.S. Marshal, yeah.
Shooting a gun, doing it
Dodge
all.
Dodge City, Kansas. Just like Marshal Matt Dillon, only less.
I've seen it. You're tracking down perps, and you're trying to – it's a reality show. And
No, it's a Joe Schmo show. This was a Western cowboy that I don't even think they have a name for it yet. It'll come out in September. We'll talk about it more then.
Right.
But it was – yeah, I was duded up. I had my six gun on my side, and I was riding my horse Outlaw.
With your assless chaps?
No, I didn't have assless chaps on. But having not been on a horse in some time.
You're very sore.
How does that feel?
I used to ride off and on quite a bit the past, I don't know, 20 years or so I've been on horses. But if you're not regularly doing it, your ass forgets what that experience is like. And also your inner thighs forget what that experience is like.
But at least your ass and inner thighs will remind you for about a week.
Yeah. So that's why they walk so funny, those cowboys. That's why I see them bow-legged going down the center of town, because you have to squeeze the horse with your legs, and those muscles usually don't get a workout.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, you're Lisa May, but that's a whole different reason those get the workout. But
so was it as much fun as you hoped it would be, Ralph?
So much more fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, awesome.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys know this, but there's a Western town. Only about 40 minutes north here of Los Angeles, off of the 101. Once you get up into Agoura Hills, it is it's now a state or national park. I forget which one, but it's a park now. But inside that park, they have a full-blown Western town.
No kidding.
That had been used for years by Paramount Pictures and other film companies to film Westerns in. So we went up to this location, and it's a full-blown, when you walk out there, it's a full-blown Western town.
How about that?
So you're in the...
Got a saloon and all
they
that?
They got a saloon, they got a general store, they've got a telegraph office, and
that's
there you're
awesome.
In the outfit, you got the badge on and the hat, and you're with your horse, and you're going down, it's a you can't help but feel like it's the best Cowboys and Indians game you've ever played as a kid. Yeah,
that's strong.
So much fun. So I had a blast.
Q and the horse you rode in on.
And a lot of people were saying that to me, too, as well, when I got there. But I am back with the showbiz news. And, boy, I take a couple of days off, and everybody just goes to pieces.
What happened?
It's a nightmare. Well, first of all, Michelle Williams and Jason Segel break up. Oh, they were like America's sweethearts.
I love them.
They were cute together.
They were awesome together. They're over, and now this morning it's announced Rachel McAdams and Michael Sheen have broken up. You remember Michael Sheen as Liz Lemon's boyfriend on 30 Rock,
right.
The British guy?
I remember her more than
Didn't
him.
Didn't he play Prime Minister...
He was also Tony Blair. Yeah, he also played David Frost and Nixon and Frost.
That's right.
If you saw that. Rachel McAdams, of course, you know her. They met on Midnight in Paris. They were both in that film, that Woody Allen film. They've been together for 2 years. They just called it quits. Hmm. Another case of geographic undesirability, if you believe the story. She lives in Toronto. He splits his time between Wales and Los Angeles. So
that seems difficult.
That's hard to maintain a relationship. Apparently, that was the problem with them. Michelle Williams and Jason Segel, too, because he's L.A.-based, she's New York-based. So it's hard to make those things work, but I like both of those couples, and now I'm very upset. But when I want to feel better, I just watched that footage of Harry Styles from One Direction getting hit in the crotch with a shoe.
Is there anything better?
Nothing. For those of you who didn't hear the story, he was performing Tuesday night in Glasgow, Scotland, when an overzealous fan threw a shoe onto the stage. Styles picked it up, and that's when, well, as they say, the other shoe dropped. Oh. The second shoe went flying and hit Harry right in the nads.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind? That just happened.
Square in the cojones. Right in those little One Direction marbles.
That's awesome.
It hits him, you see him double over and collapse to the floor. Unbelievably, this is not the first time Harry's been hit in the balls during a concert.
Really?
What kind of danger is he walking into?
I have no idea.
What's happening?
Maybe he has magnetic nads. He was hit in the balls once before during a concert in Sydney's Horden Pavilion in April of 2012.
But with shoes?
I don't know what hit him the first time. I just...
That can't have been fans, because why would you throw something that might hurt your favorite group? A shoe is hard.
Maybe Harry's a foot fetishist. So they're trying to turn him on. I have no idea why people would throw shoes at him.
I'm glad they did. Don't get me wrong, but it's hard to get your head around why it would happen.
By the way, if you're a fan of One Direction or Harry, you can tweet your condolences with the hashtag that's been flying around Twitter this week. Pray for Harry's balls. Hashtag pray for Harry's balls. And you can do that if you want to get a word to Harry.
Might it have been Taylor Swift who threw the shoe?
See? Now they're really never, ever getting back together again. Neither are his gonads. And little Ricky Schroeder. Remember him from Silver Spoons and from The Champ?
Sure.
Yes.
Rick also worked on NYPD Blue for a couple seasons. He had a bit of a commotion at LAX this week. TMZ.com reporting that a female airport employee accused him of assaulting her when she refused to let him board a plane with 3 bags. First of all, good on her. I hate those people, the 3-bag people.
Yeah.
They make it pretty clear that that's not okay.
And they try to sneak it through, like they'll put a bag on top of a bag and stuff. I hate those people. They take up the overhead compartments and can't get it in. There was an argument, but Ricky's attorney saying the woman was very rude and confrontational. She hit his hand and his phone went flying. He went to grab it and pushed her, apparently. And that's when she started screaming at the top of her lungs, assault, assault.
She hit his hand and knocked his phone out?
Yeah. So it looks like there may be a bit he said, she said here in the situation. We'll have to wait and see.
Aren't you surprised there aren't more fights at those gates with people trying to board and board
so
early?
Much tension, too, when you're traveling.
Yes. And everybody's nervous and mad.
And finally, what I've been waiting for, Silver Linings Playbook, of course, a great movie starring Jennifer Lawrence, won her an Oscar. Now... her costumes from that movie are going up for auction.
Yes!
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Finally.
She did a lot of working out in that movie.
She sure did. Yeah, apparently they're going up for auction at a place called Nate D. Sanders Auctions in Los Angeles, selling the costumes from the movie, including the black wool coat she wears throughout her Oscar-winning performance and the sports bra and shirt that she actually wore during the dance rehearsals with Bradley
Cooper. Well, sounds sexy.
Yeah, sports bra, yeah.
What's wrong with you?
She sweated in that. Get that DNA, baby. You clone yourself a J-Law.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Why just one?
I don't think you get it. I don't think I can handle more than one.
Yeah.
Before I get to the birthdays, heads up, this Saturday they're having another big Santa Anita event with the folks from K-Rock, an infield concert featuring Young Blood Hawk. There's about 50 different kinds of beers going to be there. They got food trucks. It's going to be quite the hullabaloo this Saturday, March the 2nd at Santa Anita Park.
Oh, good for you.
I have right now a VIP package if you'd like to attend. Here's what you get. Lots of VIP things. I didn't get any more information than the VIP package. Right. But I'm assuming it's really cool.
You get diamond rings.
No, I don't,
that,
I don't,
a diamond
think, I don't
necklace.
Think you get that. You get like special parking and stuff. And I think you get $10,000 to gamble with.
Yeah, to gamble with.
I don't think it's $10,000.
I'm not positive either.
Anyway, you can hang with Stryker, Kat Corbett, Nicole Alvarez. These are all people they tell me actually work here at K-Rock. So you can see them. You can see Lightning and Omar and Dave the King of Mexico. It all happens Saturday, March the 2nd. If you'd like the VIP package, call right now, 1-800-520-1067, and you get to go to the Santa Anita event with the Young Blood Hawk concert and beer and food and gambling, and what could be better?
Ralph, quick story before I get to the birthdays.
Yes.
Yesterday we had Kat fill in for you.
Hi, she's Kat.
At 20 minutes till 10 or whenever they do the final show, we do that final showbiz, right. And she came in and she's like, oh, so tired, you guys made me get up so early. We were like, you have to come in 10 minutes before you normally do.
She's
like,
old.
Oh, I couldn't take. She was really just about to die.
So weak. Today's celebrity birthdays, and I'm going to throw in the leap year birthdays, too, because those poor bastards, they never get to
screwed.
Celebrate their birthdays. So here we go. John Turturro, very talented actor, 56 years old today. Robert Sean Leonard, my old House co-star. Remember when
Robert
and I would work all the time together on House?
I don't remember all the time.
Oh, yeah, we had so many good times on that.
You're on five seasons.
Oh, yeah, I was on for five seasons. He's 44 years old. Pat Monahan of Train is 44. Allie Larder, remember her from Heroes and Resident Evil Afterlife, 37 years old. People born on February the 29th include Antonio Sabato Jr. from General Hospital and the Bold and Beautiful, 41 years old. Mark Foster of Foster the People is 29 years old today. And former Los Angeles King, now Philadelphia Flyer, Simone Gagné! Woo!
A surprise trade.
Scored last night against the Caps for the Flyers. Yeah,
Was he for the Kings?
First game with the Flyers, he scored
that
last
a-hole
night against the Washington Capitals.
He was injured all last year, and then he came back in the playoffs.
He's on fire now.
He scored zero goals in the last... Oh!
He's 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Well, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:24.
I'm just saying, Kurt, for the next album, a little effort, that's all. Dr. Drew Pinsky on the program today. Also, comedian Nathan Fielder will be here. Rainn Wilson, Jimmy Johnson, winner of the Daytona 500. A lot of stuff coming up, plus your chance to qualify to see Fun Period in London. Destination number, let's make it 7 of the K-Rock World Tour 2013. Details at KROQ.com.
Here's what I don't understand about Justin Bieber. A, total douchebag. B, why is he wearing a gas mask when he goes out shopping? Why is that happening? And C, why does everybody assume that he's trying to hide from the paparazzi, which I've seen in all different kinds of reports? Oh, you're trying to hide from the paparazzi. Maybe it's not working quite so well because you're using a gas mask. Unless they're being funny, he's clearly not trying to hide from anybody. He's trying to say, hey, everyone look at me.
Right.
Everybody look at me. Even people who don't know who I am look at me.
I think that is what he's trying to say.
Oh, my
God. I can't. There's no reasonable explanation for wearing a gas mask unless you've been living someplace where there's some sort of a gas event where you need a gas mask, right?
Well, yeah, I would think so. He's using it as fashion, though.
Well,
what a gigantic douchebag he is.
He's going to start a trend.
God,
I
hate him.
We could sit here and guess all day, or we could go to the super secret hotline and bring Justin Bieber back onto the Kevin Bean Show and ask him ourselves. Hi, Justin. Welcome back.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How you doing, man?
Can you take off the gas mask while you're on the phone, Justin?
No, I can't take it off, eh?
Why are you wearing it?
Because I don't want the paparazzi to recognize me, eh?
But are you just drawing attention to yourself? Because really, nobody else on the planet is walking around in a gas mask.
It's a disguise, eh? So people won't say, oh, look, it's Justin Bieber, eh? So this way I won't get noticed, and then the paparazzi will leave me alone, eh?
But how can anybody not notice a guy in a gas mask?
Because it's just every day, man. You know, bro? You see people every day wearing gas masks?
I don't know that I've ever seen a person in a gas mask.
Well, sometimes people are in a place where there's a gas event.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Some sort of a leak or an explosion or some reason to wear a gas mask.
A gas event.
It's a gas event.
That might be the name of my next concert.
Well, you certainly have the outfit for it, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. This way I'm prepared in case there's a gas event that I need
Where does one even get a gas mask?
You have to go to like an Army Navy surplus store, eh?
You have to have it on the entire time we're talking to you.
Absolutely, because I don't want anyone to say, oh, look, it's Justin Bieber, eh? Let's go bother him. So this way people leave me alone.
What they do instead is go, hey, that's Justin Bieber. He's wearing a gas mask. What a douche.
No, they say, hey, who's that cool swag guy over there with that swag gas mask all swaggy?
Do you think that's what they're asking?
Yeah. I got a whole list of things I'm going to wear to make sure the paparazzi doesn't recognize me, eh?
Oh, this is only the beginning?
Yeah. Like, the gas mask, that's step one.
Okay.
This work is working well, I think, so far.
Okay, yeah.
And then next, I'm going to put on, like, a tutu and an Indian headdress. I look like a Native American ballerina, eh? And they'll just say, oh, that's just another Native American ballerina.
Sure,
and I'll leave that person alone and not bother them because they're not Justin Bieber.
Those are everywhere.
Right, yeah. So you'll just blend on in with the surroundings then, if you wear
like
that.
I look like I'm at an Indian dance event.
Okay. I think that sounds like a good plan, Justin.
Yeah, and then I was thinking of maybe just wrapping my body in neon. And just walking around like a giant neon sign. And they'll say, oh, look, there's just a neon guy. It's not Justin Bieber. Let's not take any pictures of him.
Why don't you just get a giant sign or maybe have tattooed on your forehead, hey, everyone, pay attention to me.
Because that would draw attention to me. I don't want that, eh?
I
just
want to
be left alone like any other guy who wears a giant yellow baseball cap with metal studs all over it. Just like those guys, eh?
You don't ever pick out an article of clothing and go, this is actually subtle. I'm going to wear this.
No, well, look, I have swag, okay?
Yeah,
you
have swag.
Because you're not swaggy.
I'm not swaggy, that's true.
I'm all sorts of swaggy, and I want to thank all the kids who support my swag and everyone who loves the swag that I bring them in a swag way.
Right.
Swag,
right. Right.
Okay. All right, Justin. Well, listen, whatever you're doing isn't working, but I know you're going to keep on doing it anyway.
Well, hold on.
It's a little hot inside this gas mask, quite frankly.
I imagine you shouldn't be wearing a gas mask. That's why.
I think I'm hyperventilating a little bit, actually.
Oh, fantastic. Maybe you could die.
Hold on. I got to take this off.
Thank God. Finally. It's about time.
Oh.
Feel better?
No, I don't feel so good.
Oh, no? Even with the fresh air? Oh, no, Justin.
Put the mask back on.
Oh, come on! What's happening? Justin. What?
I think I just had a vomit event, eh?
I wish there was a way I could see those guys performing. What? I'm just saying. Capital Cities, they do that awesome Safe and Sound song. I wish there was a way I could sit it at my computer today at, like, I don't know, 1 o'clock and see them performing for free.
They're going to be performing for free at 1 o'clock today.
What?
Red Bull Sound Space
today at 1 o'clock here at K-Rock Capital Cities. You can see them live at krock.com. And you should. Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Wednesday. Happy to say Ralph Garman is back from making some TV, so he'll be joining us again for the Showbiz Beat in about 10 minutes or so. And then the very talented Rainn Wilson, who must be, if they haven't filmed that very last episode of The Office, they have to be getting very close to it.
Yeah, I think
it goes off the air in May, so it'll be interesting to see what Rainn is up to and what he's going to be doing next, so we'll talk to him coming up. First, though, Kevin, I know you're just over the moon with spring training being here. It's baseball season again.
Nope.
And
I heard a sports announcer call it pretend. I like that.
Okay, so, but just like with every sport, there's preseason games. They don't count. It's a chance to kind of shake out the roster a little bit and see what sticks.
Yeah,
you understand. That's true for all sports.
And I know there are a lot of baseball fans, just not me.
Go ahead. And, you know, this is the year, you know, the merchandising kicks in for the new season, and the baseball teams have all released their new, you know, their new hats and whatnot. So I went down to the Mariners store. I'm a Seattle Mariners fan, of course. I went down to the Mariners store to get the new batting practice hat this week because I think it's an awesome logo, and I wanted to get that. And I was in there, and there was a guy, an African-American gentleman, also shopping in the store at the same time, who had a new cap on as well.
Right.
and had all of his stickers on his cap.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I know we've seen this before, and it's in all the all the rap videos, and you see it all the time.
It's been like, I don't know, 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm. It's been the trend for a while, yeah. Right. But it's not a trend that seems to be going away. It's not a trend that somebody started and said, hey, I'm going to leave the stickers on my hat, and then people stopped doing it in a month. People are still doing it.
You left yours on, I hope.
No.
You're so hopelessly unhip.
I'm the whitest guy in the world, apparently, because there's no way I would put on a hat with all the stickers on it. I couldn't wait to get the stickers peeled off of my hat, because now it looks like a piece of clothing that, I don't know, an adult would wear.
Now you're just a dork.
Not something that somebody would steal. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. I can't get my head around. Look. And it's only hats, too. You don't see people walking around with price tags and stickers on their shirts.
They don't leave the little stickers. But it's on accident.
You don't see people doing it with their pants. You don't see people leaving the stickers on the windows of their new cars when they buy them. What's it about? What's going on with that?
How did it start and how has it lasted 5 to 7 years or however long it's been lasting?
Right. I mean, this isn't a piece of fine jewelry where you might have a sales receipt so that you could prove that it's a real diamond and not a fake.
Well, what did it cost? Are they expensive?
Like $24, I think, is what I paid for my hat.
Oh, well, that's nothing to brag about.
Yeah, who's bragging about a $24 hat?
That's right. I spent $24 on a hat. How about me?
I look at it and it's not even, I don't even know how to put into words. A, I think it's dumb, but B, it's more that I just don't understand what the point of it can be. Because does anybody look at that dude and say, he's a baller? Check him out. He spent $24 for that cap. He rules. I wish I could be like that guy.
And if he didn't have the stickers, they go, that guy is a poser.
Right.
I don't know.
I mean, is some of it is it like a counterfeit thing? Like this is a real hat? Like I actually bought a real New Era hat rather than some ripoff for $5 at the gas station in the neighborhood? Is that what it could be?
You know, we do have one black listener.
Oh, Anel?
Yeah.
He's on hold.
We
have Anel?
Yeah, you want to go to Anel and find out?
African-American correspondent of the Kevin and Bean Show, Anel Rivers. Hi, Anel.
How many times have I been over this, Bean? I don't even like Africans. Okay, American is fine. Black works good. Works well as well.
Black is well. All right. Well, listen, I'm so glad you're on the phone, Anel, because you heard my confusion when I once again encountered a brother wearing a hat, a New Era hat, with all the stickers on it. And I can't get my head around what that's supposed to be.
Well, you know, Bean, we're in entrepreneurial people, as you well know.
Sure.
And, well, I mean, let's be honest, you never know when you might have to resell something. You know what I'm saying?
So you got to keep it in mint condition with the tags?
I keep my tag on everything. My car has dealer plates, my pants, everything. You know, you never know when you got to take something back to the store. So stay ready. Ain't got to get ready.
But in your case, Anel, it's because you might need to run from the law and literally leave the country.
Right. Well, you know, let me just – first of all, you guys have always been good to me. So right. I'm going to let y'all in on a little secret.
Please
okay?
do.
Don't tell nobody. All right?
All right.
First of all, the only reason we do these things – the only reason we do these things is to confuse and annoy you people.
Love it.
Okay.
Then I love it.
And by you people, I mean white folks.
Sure, right. Of course.
Okay. Okay,
all right. What would happen, Anel, if white people adopted the trend, as we have so many other black trends? Let's face it. There's no question that African Americans lead the charge on fashion trends, on dancing trends, on music trends. We just follow you.
The language.
That's how it's been. Right? What would happen if white people started leaving their stickers on the caps? Would you then turn on it?
The same thing that happened with the Cabbage Patch, the same thing that happened with saying peace out, we'll just stop doing it.
You'll just stop doing it. Yeah.
Then it's not cool.
Let me tell y'all how we roll, okay?
Right.
First of all, the reason slavery happened is because y'all caught us slipping.
Okay.
That's the only reason. We weren't ready for it. We got caught off guard. By the time we got ourselves together, we see how we turned the tide on that, right?
Okay.
Black president, okay?
So right, all right.
The plan is, okay, we do things that intentionally make no sense and that are ridiculous in the hopes that you people will start doing it. And then we just step away from the situation and point laugh.
And you go, what an idiot. That guy is wearing a hat with the tags on it.
Case in point, Quentin Tarantino.
Who said peace out.
He's still wearing woo wear and saying peace out. I mean, hey, you know what I'm saying? We got him good.
He said peace out. Oh, so when he said peace out at the Oscars, when he won his Oscar, he said peace out. Did the entire black community go,
no black man has uttered peace out since 1991.
Okay. Interesting. So you're just setting us up to be the butt of your jokes. That's what's going on here.
Hey, sagging pants? You remember when some people started sagging their pants?
Sure.
Okay, now look at this. Now, we're wearing skinny jeans now, right? Yeah, okay.
Right.
Y'all still got your pants hanging off your ass looking like weirdos.
Yeah, that's right.
So we just walk around looking at you guys like, now, skinny jeans, same deal. You see, we're wearing skinny jeans, we're wearing little white, bright colors and all that kind of stuff. Wait till white kids start doing it. We'll move on to something else.
All right, let me ask you one more question, because there is a great deal of conversation on this very topic online. A lot of forums, a lot of people discussing it, a lot of theories. There's one theory that I don't think is getting much traction, and maybe there's nothing to it, but I want to run it by you, and we're friends, right? So you'll be truthful if I ask you this, okay?
Most definitely.
Is it possible that the stickers on the caps is some sort of a secret black transmitter so that all black folks can talk to each other and white people can't hear it?
No, that's called BET.
Wait, you read that?
I did. That was a theory.
You read that? Seriously, Bean?
I did. That was one theory. Somehow they're all interconnected. It's their underground railroad.
No, they just you just nod at each other and go, white, dumb white people are going to be doing this in a couple years, and it's really taken us a while to get the hat thing down. We haven't started it yet.
Exactly. The other day I was at the liquor store. I heard two white kids calling each other the N-word. I thought it was hilarious. I know what I'm saying. Lord knows I use it like a comma. You know what I'm saying? But when they would see them doing it, like in front of other white people, I'm like, your mother would hit the ground if she could hear you right now. But
all right. Well, you blew the lid off this one. So now I actually am grateful that I got my new cap home and I peeled the stickers right off and put them in the trash, because I'm not falling for your evil plan.
Wait, you did what? You took the stickers off?
I threw the stickers away.
Hey,
y'all, the stickers off.
Hey, they are to us. They are to us. We can stop now.
Kevin tweeted out the video for the new Adams for Peace song. This is the Tom York Flea collaboration music that just came out. His dancing is really an epileptic seizure more than it is dancing, right?
It is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
You just don't get it, man.
It's hard to believe it's real. It almost seems like he's doing it to make fun of something, right?
Yeah, if I were to try to make fun of people who knew how to dance, I would be doing that. But it seems to be his dance, and he's doing it again, and it's awesome.
What is up with Tom York?
Guys don't have swag.
I guess that's what it is.
I'm not
I guess
sure
that's
he
what
does
it is.
Either.
He's got swag.
Well, you got to check out this Adams for Peace video. It's unbelievable. All right, Ralph is back, ladies and gentlemen. Finally,
yeah, very excited.
It's a very, very long first half of the week without you, buddy. I'm welcome. Welcome back. Time for the Showbiz Beat now.
You hate it when I come back.
That's we true. Love it when you come back.
You guys are so happy with Stryker and Cut. And everyone else that you bring in here. And then I come in, you're like, oh, Jesus, he back again? We thought maybe this time maybe we're finally rid of him.
There's a little of that.
That's what I'm saying. But nope, you're stuck with me. I'm back. And I mentioned in the last hour that in an auction house named Nate D. Sanders Auctions was putting up for auction the actual costumes worn by Jennifer Lawrence in her Oscar award-winning performance in Silver Linings Playbook.
That just seems creepy to me.
Including her sports bra and shirt that she actually wore and sweated in during her dance rehearsals with Bradley Cooper.
Lisa, you creeped out a little bit by this?
A little bit.
And I was mentioning that I was interested in bidding until I saw that the dance gear outfit is currently going for $1,300.
You're not in for that much?
That's a lot. I don't know, but it's got her all over it.
Think how much soup you could make with that, though.
That's true. I might have to see what's in the bank account. Maybe I can raise some. Although I think I would be outbid by a gentleman who was aggressively hitting on her Oscar night.
Oh. Who would have been hitting on her Oscar night?
And she's single now, right?
Yep. I think this gentleman may be purchasing her soiled undergarments to make soup out of.
It's not Bradley Cooper, is it?
It's not Bradley Cooper. No, it is Jack Nicholson.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
The legend was working Jennifer Lawrence on national television.
Really?
She was sitting down with George Stephanopoulos from Good Morning America right after her Oscar win to talk about it.
Right.
And she's doing an interview with George Stephanopoulos, and they're filming it, and Jack comes up right behind her.
Now, on one hand, he's old enough to be her grandfather.
Yes.
Maybe great-grandfather.
But what other 75-year-old man would ever have a shot with Jennifer Lawrence?
On the other hand, he's Jack Nicholson.
That's what I'm saying. And I will translate. I'll tell you, I'll fill in the blanks for this audio clip that I brought in, because it's kind of, Jack is well off mic, so it's kind of hard to make out their conversation.
Okay.
But Jennifer is way flattered and way into it.
Sure.
Yeah, here's a little piece.
I hope you got a fan here.
It's such a beautiful job.
Thank you.
You crush it.
You're being really rude. With all your movies. Oh, really? Do I look like a new girl, bro?
I thought about it.
My food. Is he still here?
I'll be waiting.
Oh, my God.
Is he still here?
Yeah.
She's scared of him.
She comes up behind him, and he says, I loved your performance. You look like an old girlfriend of mine. To which she responds, oh, really? Do I look like a new girlfriend? To which Jack,
wow.
To which Jack responds, I thought about it. And then he walks away, and then she's so... You can see she's blushing, and she's flustered, and she's like, is he still here? And then he comes up behind her and goes, I'll be waiting.
Dude.
Anybody else, it's creepy.
Oh, but she was thrilled. Can you imagine her joy?
That's she funny. Did kind of volley back when he gave her that opening, right?
Hell yeah.
She was definitely not shutting him down.
No, she wasn't.
You know what, though? Even if she's not the least bit interested, it's still super flattering to have a guy like Jack Nicholson walk up and start, you know, going on about you.
He knows who you are.
That's crazy.
Cool.
He destroyed her. That's how I like to think of it. After the governor's ball. Just wrecked her.
She may still be at his house.
That's right. She may be listening right now.
By the way, she is Hollywood's it girl right now. There's no one hotter than Jennifer Lawrence.
She's got it all.
She's just beautiful and unbelievably talented. 22 years old, been nominated for 2 Oscars already. She's just hilarious, and she just seems regular, like a regular, super nice person and a hot chick, too.
Yep.
Love her.
What are you going to do?
Opposite of Kristen Stewart in every way.
She is. Yeah. She's personality plus and just looks and the whole nine yards. Oh, you know who else is? Desiree Hartsook.
I don't know that name.
She is...
She is the girl that Sean stupidly rejected from The Bachelor 2 weeks ago.
Oh, no, you don't.
Could you believe that he got rid of Desiree, one of the most adorable, funny, sexy girls ever to be on The Bachelor?
You know, yesterday's show was very Bachelor-free. There was that.
However, we may all be given a reprieve because rumor is coming. We will find out next week. Right after The Bachelor, after the Final Rose, actually in 2 weeks after the Final Rose episode, they will be announcing who the new Bachelorette will be.
Stop it.
For May, and rumor has it that it may be Desiree. So
stop it.
We may get more of our Desiree. Which
nobody very
excited,
cares.
Very excited. And I can tell you're excited.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
I appreciate how much you love
Bachelor. I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
Bachelor as much as I do. Today's celebrity birthdays, John Turturro, very talented actor. Oh, boy. You ever see Quiz Show?
Yes.
No. Boy, what a performance he gives in excellent. Quiz Show. Quiz Show is a Robert Redford-directed film about the history of the $64,000 question, which was a very popular TV game show, which they fixed. They started giving answers to people, this one person in particular, in order to keep the ratings high. And that's what resulted in an act of Congress saying you can no longer...
Really?
Yeah, they clamped down on the regulations of how a game show has to be run because of this particular example that happened back in the 50s. And Turturro plays a genius guy on a quiz show who also happens to be very unattractive and very unappealing to America. And so they fix it in order to get him kicked off the show, basically. But it's a great performance. He's 56 years old today. Ray Don Chung, daughter of Tommy, actress in her own right. She's 52 years old. Robert Sean Leonard is 44. Pat Monahan of Train is 44 as well. Ali Larder turns 37 years old today. And for the leap year birthdays, for the people born on the 29th who never get to celebrate, Mark Foster of Foster the People is 29 today. And former L.A. King, now current Philadelphia Flyers, Simone Gagné celebrates
him.
His 33rd birthday today.
F Simone Gagné.
Why? He scored last night against the Caps. He played very, very well for the Flyers.
Because the Kings had him for 2 years. He was out 1 year hurt, and he never...
Well,
what a waste he was.
Maybe you weren't being very nice to him.
What a good trade that was for us.
Like you.
Then he starts scoring immediately.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. I know on the surface you're going to say this is a crazy idea, but seriously, think about it for a second before you shoot me down, okay?
All right.
Pope Benedict resigns effective today.
Right.
They haven't selected a new pope yet.
Right.
Why not Rainn Wilson?
Rainn Wilson is...
Why not Rainn Wilson? He's hilarious and a deep thinker. What about Rainn Wilson running the Catholics?
Are they looking for hilarious in a pope?
Rainn, what do you think? Are you up for the challenge, man?
I am so up for it. Are you
kidding
me? Have you been
awesome
to the Vatican?
Awesome pope. Yes.
It's gorgeous.
You could live there. You could make that work, right?
I could be so happy. Do you know how many jacuzzis they have there? It's fantastic.
Oh, Rainn, you'd make a couple of jokes and everybody would get offended and you'd be thrown out on your ass.
In like 8 seconds.
Yeah. I don't think they throw the Pope out. I think the Pope is one of those jobs, like the Supreme Court Justice, that you're pretty much secure. I mean, it's a job
no
for life.
No matter what you do, you can't
I don't think so. Unless you decide to step down like Benedict did, but, I think it's yours.
But, Bean, what if he started, like, on a bender and he became an alcoholic? I mean, seriously, what if something like that happened?
What if I flashed the crowds in the square in the Vatican?
There you go.
From the little balcony.
That would be awesome. Hey, listen, Ray Wilson's on the phone because of an event that's happening this weekend, Saturday night at the Riverside Auditorium and Events Center. I'm going to let you tell me about Tickled Pink because you've got a great lineup for a great cause, Rain.
Yeah, well, you know, I have this friend who lives out in Riverside, and her name's Nicole Agarwal, and she's a breast cancer survivor, and she wanted to do really something great for her community. So there's this great local charity for breast cancer survivors, and it provides support for people with breast cancer. And so she's doing a big fundraiser, so I got a bunch of my pals to come out there to Riverside Auditorium on Saturday night, and we're going to do a big comedy show to raise money.
The charity is called the Pink Ribbon Place. That's thepinkribbonplace.org. And some of your friends include Marilyn Reiskip, of course, who was a very funny comedian and also was Chloe on 24. Tig Notaro is going to be there. Thomas Lennon is going to be there. And some of your co-workers from The Office also sing. Tell me about that.
Well, The Office cast is, like, ridiculously talented. By the way, Ed Helms is going on tour this summer with, like, his bluegrass band.
Is that right?
Yeah, for real. But, Kate Flannery, who plays Meredith, who's the one who's always drunk and messed up.
And flashing.
She's got this musical comedy routine thing called The Lampshades, of this drunken cabaret variety act.
Love it.
And it's just fantastic, just hysterical. They're going to perform. And Creed Bratton used to be the lead guitarist and singer for the 60s and 70s rock band The Grassroots.
Yeah, and that's incredible. That's crazy that's the same dude.
Isn't that nuts?
Yeah, it is.
So he's going to perform. He's got a new album coming out, and he's going to perform some songs from his new album. So it's a lot of very funny people for a great cause.
Yeah, it sounds awesome. Again, the Riverside Auditorium and Event Center, it's going to be this Saturday night. Tickets are at inlandagency.org if you want to see Rain Wilson and friends there. Let me ask you about a couple other things, Rain, while we have you on the phone. First of all, Soul Pancake is still a great website that's going strong now. It's got to be like 5 years you've been putting that thing together.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me how the kid president became the biggest thing on the internet with tens of millions of views. Tell folks who don't know about the kid president why this kid is so special.
Well, we found this kid literally living out in Tennessee, and he was making these little videos with his brother-in-law, I think, and they were so uplifting and fun. It's this little African-American kid who has just got a big heart and a great sense of humor, and he pretends to be the president. If he were president, he would make everything awesome. So he would challenge everyone to, like, a dance party. And he was making these little videos, and they weren't getting many hits, but we were like, this guy's got to be a part of Soul Pancake. So we brought him over to our YouTube channel, and the videos have gone through the roof. He even did a video with President Obama.
Yeah, it's crazy. And by the way, I will only ever refer to you as Rain Williams now as a result of seeing him interview you. You are Rain Williams forever now.
That's right.
But I can't figure this kid out because usually there's adults who are pushing a kid to do something. But I get the sense that he is this smart and this insightful. He's a third grader, Rain. But doesn't it seem to you like he actually understands what he's talking about and the advice that he's giving to people?
Oh, yeah. No, he totally gets it. He gets it. He is a brilliant goofball. I've done, like, Skype conferences with this kid, and that's his personality.
He's in third grade going on 30.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, it is awesome. If you haven't visited Soul Pancake in a while, it's a great site with lots of great links to really inspirational stuff and thought-provoking stuff. But the kid president, you're going to get hooked on that channel, man. You watch one of those videos, you can't not watch the next one. It's pretty amazing.
Plus, once Rain becomes the Pope, you know, you're going to have to go to that site anyway. So.
Yeah, it'd be kid president and Rain Pope.
Pope, right.
Yeah, Rain Williams, right. Are you done filming The Office? Is the last one in the can yet, Rain?
We're so close. We have 12 more shoot days left before we're done.
Now, are you excited or sad or both?
You know, it's really bittersweet. It really is time for the show to end. It's been a fantastic 9-year run. We'll have ended with 202 episodes.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's the greatest job I'll ever have in my life. I mean, it'll never get better than that. The people are so great. It's such a great show.
You have to be tired of someone, though.
little bit.
I mean, yeah. Really, there's got to be that one person. Everybody's like, wow, I'm going to be happy not to be working with, you know, Carell or whoever.
I'm not going to name any names or anything. Krasinski.
Well, yeah. we've had you on the show before. We always talked about the incredible thing is that The Office stayed on as long as it did when you look at how many people are on that show that are talented enough to run their own show. You know what I mean? That's why it's not a surprise when somebody like Steve leaves or somebody like Mindy leaves, because you have such an incredibly deep bullpen over there.
Yeah, and so many people are leaving to go do other shows. Ellie Kemper is going to go do a show, and Angela Kinsey's doing one, and Brian Baumgartner, Craig Robinson's getting his own show on NBC.
Fantastic.
And so everyone's kind of branching off. It's a ridiculous.
What about you, Rain? What are you going to do?
You know, I don't know, man. I'm going to take some time off and think about things. I got a few projects I'm trying to develop. I don't know. Any ideas? I was thinking about maybe trying to get into radio.
Well, radio's never been hotter and more on the upswing, man. I'll tell you that.
Really?
You're too good for that, Rain. You're too good for that.
Well, it's always awesome to have you on the program. This thing Saturday night in Riverside sounds like a lot of fun. Let me give out the address again for folks who want to buy tickets to this great event for a great cause. It's inlandagency.org, and it's this Saturday night at the Riverside Auditorium, and the charity is the Pink Ribbon Place. Rain, great to have you on again, man. Thanks for the time.
Thanks for having me on your show. I love you guys.
Thank you, man.
Nathan Fielder, very funny comedian, actor, is going to be in studio with us next hour. His new Comedy Central series is called Nathan for You. He goes into a job interview, except he's got an earpiece, and the only things he'll say in the job interview are things that are being fed to him by an 8-year-old boy. That's how he tries to get a job. That's one of the things he does at his show, and it's very funny, and we'll talk to him next hour coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, Ralph Garman is back with the Showbiz Beat on the way, but first, earlier this morning, Kevin, we were talking about this yahoo down in, hard to believe, in Florida.
Yeah.
Named Christopher Sharp. He pretended for, let me see, from August of 2012 until January of 2013, for about 6 months, he pretended that he was a police officer.
For six months?
He was working as a Pasco County deputy as a police officer. He pretended that to his live-in girlfriend. He stole a police uniform from his sister's boyfriend, and then every night would come home from work wearing a police uniform and telling her about his day on the force. He was really working at Pizza Hut. So in the morning, he'd get up and he'd leave in his police officer outfit, and then he'd have to change to get into regular clothes to go to Pizza Hut, then change back into the cop's uniform on the way home.
What?
For six months, he got away with that.
I wonder where he told her his gun was. Because don't they always have guns? Maybe he said it was at the station in his locker or something.
Great question.
But what a bizarre...
Great question, Lisa. But that's the first of about 1,000 ways that this thing should have unraveled in 6 months. Like, could... If your boyfriend, Lisa, didn't have the job that he has, wouldn't you know it just based on conversation about your life?
I would think so. And like email addresses, you know, if you work at a company, there's a company email address,
Usually, that kind
of thing. It just, I mean, doesn't he have a police cruiser?
No, that's at the station, Lisa.
Yeah, everything's at the station.
It sounds like this girl was a little gullible.
I mean, for a week,
you know, 2 weeks, a month maybe, but 6 months.
And I was thinking maybe he was one of these guys who was just like, you know, baby, I just don't like to talk about my work. Mm-hmm. I just don't want to bring it home. But then the other half of the article is him out at bars bragging about his job and talking about the arrests that he's made and giving people legal advice based on his experience at a cop. So it's not like he was being shy about sharing his experiences as a police officer. I don't see how he got away with it for so long, unless you're right. The girl was just super dumb or naive.
But his friends, if he's bragging about it in a bar, his friends and other people sitting around, he must have been a pretty decent liar.
You would think so.
Especially when you're a little buzzed, you know, you'll call somebody on anything, just any little detail that they mess up on. Right. I don't know.
Even just let me see your badge.
Yeah.
You think that would be a pitfall. So we started talking about this guy, and now we started thinking about how tough that must be to pull off, and how many people there must be who do live a lie, basically, to their friends or to their family about the job that they have or what they're doing with them. You know, I mentioned first thing this morning as an example, I know that there are people who have dropped out of college and haven't wanted to tell their families. That just happens all the time.
My parents still think I went.
I think it would be fun to take some phone calls from people who have lived a lie to their friends and family. They had a job that they didn't really have, or they were going to school they weren't really going to, or there was something big in your past or in your present that they didn't know about, but you continued to keep up the front. I think that would be fascinating to hear how that worked.
Maybe you made up a story where you're at a bar about being in the Army. You know,
trying
to get a girl to feel sorry for you or whatever, and then you know you were never in the army, that kind of stuff.
Hey, I fought in Afghanistan. What are you talking about, Kevin? So the phones are ringing. I think this is going to be fun. We want to hear from you. You basically made up a story and then had to live with it. I want to know what was the story. To whom did you make it up, and how long did it last? And it's possible that maybe the story still hasn't been, you know, been popped yet. But we want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067. This should be a lot of fun. We'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman is back with the Showbiz Beat coming up in about 10 minutes or so. First, though, we're taking calls from you at 1-800-520-1067 about living a lie. You tell your friends and family one thing, but something else is actually going on. Here's a perfect example. Lucy, to get us started, she is on line 4 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Lucy. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. What's going on?
What's up, guys? My husband is in federal prison. I am telling everybody he was transferred to Florida for out-of-state job doing sales in metal and vinyl.
How long is he in prison?
He's in prison until August of this year, and I'm telling everyone he's living with his mom out in Florida, and I'm living a lie. I mean, my mom and dad know, obviously, my brothers and sisters, my family, my friends, everyone.
Oh. Well, that's
telling everyone.
Wait, you lied to your friends and family, or they know?
No. Just my mom and dad know.
Your mom and dad know. Everybody else thinks he's really in Florida.
Everybody else thinks he's in Florida.
I would do the same.
Wow. That's a tough one. That is a tough one.
Yeah, I mean, it is. So you're standing by your man. I don't know what he did, but the plan is you guys will get together, get back together and stay together when he gets out of prison?
Of course. We're married. Yes, he's going to be out in August.
Lucy, well, depending on what somebody does, sometimes the marriage doesn't survive it. That's why I ask.
Lucy, I'm watching the following. He's got some kind of cult going, and you're going to be in some serious trouble in about 4 weeks.
Thank you for calling. Good luck. Thank you, my dear. Let's go to, what do you think this name is on line 5, Kevin? Interesting story. I can't imagine
Lady
what the name
L?
Is. Is it Lady L or is it Liddell? What's your name?
I don't want to say my name because I'm too embarrassed. I don't want people to know.
Okay. All right. No problem, Anonymous. What's going on? What are you lying about?
About having a job. I got laid off like 3 weeks ago
from
my job.
Rough.
And I've been lying to my mom, telling her that, you know, I'm on vacation. So she doesn't know I don't have a job and that I'm laid off.
Listen, I think that is super common because you don't need the hassle of everybody. Look, you know you don't have a job, and I'm sure you want a job. You don't need everybody barking at you all the time to get a job, right?
Right, exactly. And that's the whole reason of my lie. I mean, it's not like a great lie, but that's the whole reason.
I totally understand that. And then
I do too.
Once you find a job, you can just tell your mom, hey, I got a different job, and I transferred, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Nicely done. We're with you.
I don't want to worry her. You know, that's the whole, it's for her benefit.
Oh, well, that's easy.
I don't want to worry her.
Easy, Anonymous.
You need cash.
It's partially for her. It's partially for you.
Yeah, it's kind of to make your life a little bit easier.
All right.
All right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to, let's go to Eddie. Eddie is on line 8 here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're taking your living a lie calls at 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Eddie.
Hey, what's up, Kevin Bean?
What'd you do? What'd you lie about? To who?
Well, I kind of lied to the whole state of California and all my family members. I was in juvenile hall, which is just basically juvenile detention.
Right.
And when you get to a certain level in the placement where I was at, they would let you go out on weekends, but only to a family member.
Okay.
Well, none of my family knew where I was. And when it really came down to it, I had my girlfriend's mom lie to the state, come down and do the whole thing and state like she was a family member. So every weekend I'd go out with my girlfriend.
Okay, but what did you tell your family?
Nobody knew. Like, when they would call the placement, and they'd be like, oh, well, he's out with family right now. So they just figured another family member came down and picked me up, and nobody really talked with each other. We don't have a tight-knit, you know, family.
Oh, I see. So you just went to hang out with the girlfriend and get some.
Well, yeah, pretty much. I mean, her mom was really cool with it. I was able to stay in the room, and it was like, you know, it was no big deal. For me, it became the norm, and we did this for about 2 years until I got out of juvenile hall.
2 years? Why were you in juvenile for so long?
Well, I was a young guy when my mom really wasn't around, so what I ended up doing was whatever I could for money, but, you know, getting into racing and cars and doing knucklehead stuff to pay the bills, and by doing that, you know, I have my own apartment and stuff, so the cops would pull me over, and I have a car, and they're like, this guy is 14 years old, and he's got a Jeep Cherokee. What the hell are you doing?
Yeah, yeah, I get you. Yeah,
that's, right. That's a little bit of a red flag.
Exactly. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Kevin, you've been lying to the whole state of California for a long
time. How dare you, sir?
About being a great driver.
I'm the best driver in the state of California.
Lying about that.
Still lying.
All right, you're going to love Melissa so much. Melissa is on line two here on the Kevin DeBede Show. Melissa, thanks a lot for calling. What happened?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
My friend worked in at this guy for 6 months and told her she was British. He was British. And we were all in on this lie, and we would all hang out with him, and he would brag about being a Brit and with an accent and everything. And
okay, but wait. But wait, wait, wait. So you were in on the fact that this guy was acting like he was British when he wasn't, and she was his girlfriend.
Correct. She was a total American girl, and we were all in on this. We were all pretending that he was and playing along with, like, his dumb stories. And then one time she needed to get a hold of him, and one of our friends gave her his house phone number.
Aww.
And when she called, his answering machine went like, hey, guys, this is, you know, so-and-so, please leave a message. Total American dude. And she hated all of us.
No.
How about that?
I don't blame her for hating you.
Because the British accent works. All right, we're going to hang out because your phone is killing us, Melissa, but thank you very much for the call. Can you imagine trying to sustain and fake an accent for 6 months while you're dating somebody?
Is no, anyone less likely to be able to do that than me?
No. That would be exhausting, though. All right, let's go to Cindy. I think we have time for one more. Cindy's on line three here on the Kevin DeBede Show. This sounds like it might be a very popular lie as well. Hi, Cindy. Thank you for calling.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
When I go to different places and, like, say, I go back home and I go to the grocery store and I run into people who I haven't seen in a long time, I've obviously gained some weight.
Right.
I lie and tell them that I had a baby and it's baby weight.
Nice.
Just so I don't feel so bad about being a overweight.
A fat ass. You mean a fat ass is the word you were looking for, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome. And if you don't see them all that often, you could totally get away with that. But now aren't they bugging you like for baby pictures and updates where's your kid on Facebook and stuff?
I make sure it's the people that I'm not friends on Facebook with. So
that's awesome.
It's easier to get away that way.
That is pretty strong. And then they feel bad for saying anything about your weight because you just had a kid.
Yeah, exactly.
Nicely done.
Awesome. Well done. All right. We got a bunch of liars listening to us. Thank you for that.
And I support them all.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Average number of movie titles in which female porn stars star as women.
That was a moment with Bean.
The only ones they star as women?
I don't even know what he's trying to say.
I don't either.
It was funny. He was giving us a porn quiz. Some porn study came out, and he was telling us that. And he was angry that we didn't understand the question. And Brad Williams and I were looking at each other like, we really want to understand the question, but we don't understand it at all.
I was frustrated, not on the first read, but then the second read, it was clear. And then the third read, it was still even clearer.
Nope.
And it still wasn't making any kind of impact.
Negative. Nope.
Look, I blame
wasn't
myself.
There, but nope.
But I blame myself.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it was not my finest moment. comedian Nathan Fielder joins us next hour, and the winner of the Daytona 500, Jimmy Johnson, in the 9 o'clock hour. Keep on listening for that. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's going on?
Since you opened up the porn box,
yes,
if you will, interesting story this morning. By now, you've all heard of the former Miss Delaware Teen USA, Melissa King, who had to surrender her crown after an alleged porn tape surfaced on the internet this week. She claimed initially it wasn't her. It's not me. That's not me in that porn movie.
Right.
Even though it looks exactly like me. And the girl has the same name and birthday as me. It's not me.
Right.
And she confesses on tape to being a teen pageant girl.
There's a lot of teen pageants. Doesn't mean that's Delaware's pageant. Anyway, she had to give up her crown. Now she's getting job opportunities, as you can imagine. YouPorn.com.
Sure.
Oh, how I love the good folks at YouPorn.com. They have offered Melissa King a $250,000 job opportunity to become Miss YouPorn.
That's way better than being Miss Teen Delaware.
I would think.
Wow.
I bet you it offers, real cash versus scholarship money, whatever they give.
Right, $250,000 is more than she would ever make as a legitimate quote unquote pageant winner.
Yeah, you know how many supermarkets she'd have to open, and how many
right,
how many lube center ribbons she'd have to cut in order to
get that kind of money? YouPorn.com says it's just to promote the website. She wouldn't have to have sex on camera unless she thinks that's a good idea.
Which right. She clearly does.
They're leaving that door open. So, and no word yet from Melissa King whether she will accept the job or not.
Doesn't it take most girls 5 to 10 years to accomplish all that? She did it in like a year.
She's on the fast track. Yep.
Here's the thing. If you are, I can see if they make that offer to, I don't know, somebody who got famous for being in some, you know, crime scandal or something like that, whether it's Monica Lewinsky or someone else who got notoriety because of some sort of misadventure. You're offering them money to promote a porn site and perhaps do porn. That's very different than offering a girl who obviously has already done porn. She's comfortable with that concept.
Yeah.
Offering her a position in that field with a high-paying spokesperson job with the opportunity to perhaps to make more.
I would jump at that if I was her.
Yeah, she'd be crazy to say no. And by the way, I have to mention again, Ralph, the total hypocrisy that because this girl had sex and legally on film, you know, made a movie, all of a sudden she's not fit to be Miss Teen Delaware is insane.
Yeah, one has nothing to do with the other.
It's crazy. But look, every single person in your pageant has had sex, okay? Just because she decided to film it doesn't make her a bad person. It doesn't mean she can't represent yourself. It makes her an outstanding person.
She should get X bonus points.
And I grew up in the Delaware Valley, and Delaware is just a slutty, tiny little state.
Is that right?
And so it's just perfect. She should represent Delaware. It's just that, just a sinkhole.
I just hate so much, Ralph, and I know you do too, that everybody's so horrified that somebody else has sex.
I know. This country has to grow the F up. All right? You know, I get it. We're a young country and it's only been, you know, 250 years, whatever, but seriously, stop it. Stop it. They're just genitals and it's just sex. And it's fun and it looks good on camera and she's very attractive.
She's
and it's
hot.
Fine.
Let her do it.
Stop it. Along those sexy lines, great list from coedmagazine.com of the top 10 strip club song staples of all time.
Oh,
these are the nice 10 songs that if you sit in a strip club, you're going to hear sooner or later, depending how long you stay. If you're Kevin, you'll probably hear them all several times.
How
because
dare
you'll
sir.
Get there for the Legs and Eggs breakfast special, and you will not leave until the bouncer has to physically pick your drunken, babbling ass up off your couch and just throw you out the door.
How dare you?
This is going to be the first quiz you've ever offered that Kevin is going to be able to come up with all 10 with no problem.
You want to take a guess at what there's no particular order here, but the top 10 strip club song staples?
Well, I gotta say, girls, girls,
girls, girls, girls, girls, ding, 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 ding,
right?
Ding,
sure,
absolutely on that list. Yeah.
What about?
So there's no ranking. Okay.
What about cherry pie?
Ding,
cherry
ding,
pie.
Ding, 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 ding. She warrants cherry pie also gotta on the be. List. Yeah.
What about Closer by Nine Inch Nails?
Ding, 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 ding. Nine Inch Nails Closer also on the list.
How about The Stroke by Billy Squire?
No, sorry, it's not on the
oh,
list.
Oh, really?
Okay. I've heard that used, and it's an excellent choice, but apparently not one of the top 10 most common songs played in strip clubs.
Lisa, you would know. It hadn't been that long since you danced.
When you were on the pole, what'd you dance to, Lisa?
You know, Barbra Streisand.
Oh.
Broadway favorites.
No wonder you starved.
The worst strip club ever.
No wonder you had to get into traffic. Memories. Look at my hoo-ha.
She was singing Memories.
Oh, I see.
Want to see Lisa coming out and dancing to The Way We Were. That's what I want to say. What else is on the list there, Ralphie?
Brick House by the Commodores.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
She's on Brick. Owls.
Sure.
It's getting hot in here, Nelly's. Mm-hmm. It's getting hot in here.
Sure.
I like Bean's version of that best. Do we have a Bean singing that Nelly?
Go ahead.
That Nelly hit? Okay. Milkshake?
Of course,
sure.
Yeah. Bring all the boys to the yard.
All
why
the
not?
Boys to the yard. Get Low, Lil Jon and the East Side Boys.
Sure.
In the top 10. Me So Horny, Two Live Crew. Me Love You Long Time.
Wow. Do you ever want to hear that song again?
I do if there's some girl shaking what
yeah, really.
Her moneymaker in my face.
It all.
Absolutely. You Shook Me All Night Long, AC/DC.
Sure.
Nice.
And the last one in the top 10 most used strip club songs, Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Of course.
By Def Leppard. So those are the songs you hear most often in your strip clubs, boys.
I'm sorry
girls.
For the delay, but I do have Bean now. If you'd like
bring
to
it.
All right, here you go.
It's getting hot in here.
Yeah.
So take off all your clothes.
Uh-huh.
All is anything
girls,
hotter than that?
All the girls want to dance to that.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Ugh. Agreed.
Blech.
Need a shower.
Blech.
It's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes.
You're hopeless.
I'm very white.
Today's celebrity birthday is John Turturro.
Pete is the definition of a honky, isn't he?
He really is.
Really, just that should be his picture in the dictionary.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out on the road as a Barry White impersonator, except I'm going to call myself Very White.
That's going to be awesome. Oh. You work on that and get back to us.
John Turturro is 56. Ray Don Chong is 52. Robert Sean Leonard from House. So good on that show for so many years. Actually, I was the one on House.
Oh, right.
44 years old today. Pat Monahan, also 44. He of Train, of course. Ali Larder from Heroes and Resident Evil, 37 years old. People born on the leap day.
It's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes.
February 29th. Mark Foster of Foster the People is 29 years old. And Simone Gagné from the Philadelphia Flyers, formerly a forward for the Kings here in L.A., 33 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
So who's this guy?
Nathan Fielder is his name. Welcome, Nathan.
Nathan, how are you?
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
It's quite an introduction.
What are you, like 18 or something? Jesus, look at you. Just a kid in a suit. What's happening?
You're not here.
No, he's not.
Oh. He's pretending.
Oh.
He's on his couch.
I'm not wearing a suit today, but we can pretend.
It's radio, Nathan. It's radio. You're wearing a suit on your show, though, and you do look like you just got out of high school. And when you go in to do the mean things that you do to people on your show, I think he's got a baby face. That's how he pulls it off. People trust him because he looks like a little kid.
Mean? What are you talking about?
Yeah, he doesn't do mean things. He does awesome things.
Well, we'll discuss. Nathan is here because he has a new TV show debuting tonight called Nathan For You. It's on Comedy Central at 10:30. We just had Ben Hoffman in here yesterday, who has the show that's on immediately before yours, The Ben Show. Great guy, funny guy. His show is awesome. Your show is also awesome. Comedy Central is bringing it.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
Tell us.
Well, that's to them, so they should say thanks.
So thank you on their behalf?
Not me.
I'm going to play the intro to the show, and I only have one suggestion for this, and that's the music should be louder.
My name is Nathan Fielder, and I graduated from one of Canada's top business schools with really good grades. Now, I'm using my knowledge to help struggling small business owners make it in this competitive world. This is Nathan For You.
All right, now, for those that didn't understand any of that,
they are trying to drown you out, Nathan. Are you sure they want you on the air?
Yeah, the music is so much louder than my voice, right?
Right. Right. So you graduated.
Should you guys remix that?
Well, we could if you needed us to.
Okay.
I mean, it seems like they probably already have it set in stone since it's tonight at 10:30.
Oh, boy.
But for those who couldn't hear, you graduated from a business school in Canada. Is that true?
Yeah, I did my undergraduate degree I got a Bachelor of Commerce degree in Canada. I'm Canadian, so that's where I'm from.
That's a real thing? Bachelor of Commerce is something that passes for a degree?
Is it different here? I don't know the.
I think it's called business.
Call it business, but it's the same.
Oh, really?
I think it's business. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what they call it there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you went to business school. Was it because you thought you were going to go into business, or did?
Yeah.
Changed your mind and went into show business instead.
I wanted to make a lot of money, so I thought, maybe I could do business.
Right.
I tried everything else and failed. So I tried to be a. At first, I thought I was going to be a dentist, and then I didn't like. Science people. Stuff. I remember going
that throws
to,
out all doctors, right?
Well, people, I went to, I like signed up for that and I went to the first lectures and, you know, in high school, no one likes science. So that's what you're used to. And I was like, I'm okay at this. But then when I went to university, people would come up after class and say, oh, are you going to that, that lecture on the weekend that wasn't mandatory? And they wanted to do it.
And they were serious?
And I was like, I can never compete with this. These people actually like science? What am I doing here?
So how old were you when you started thinking about maybe doing funny stuff, doing comedy?
Well, in high school, I did comedy stuff. I did improv, and I wrote plays with friends and made some videos sometimes. But I didn't really take it seriously at that point. So then after I tried everything else and didn't like it, then I just moved to Toronto and started doing stand-up and making short films, and that's how I kind of started.
So it wasn't a total left turn. It's not like you flopped out of business and said, all right, I'll just be a comedian. This is something you kind of had training for as well. I mean, you kind of been preparing for this as an alternate career.
Yeah, I've always loved comedy and been interested in it and did it in high school. And all growing up I did theater stuff, but I just never thought – I used to do magic, too, when I was a teenager.
Tell no one that.
What?
Tell no one that you did magic.
You know, here's my opinion about magic.
Okay.
I think it's going to come back.
Well, good luck
in
with
a
that.
Cool way.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mark my, if you record, this is the radio station of record, right?
Right, sure. Sure.
Put this
absolutely
in the Library of Congress. Yes.
Thursday, the 28th of February.
I think
David Fielder says magic is going to come back, and this is a key part in a cool way.
Yeah. 7 years.
7 years.
Give it 7 years.
Now, do you have high hope for this Steve Carell, Jim Carrey movie that they're advertising that's getting ready to open up soon, where they're dueling magicians in ridiculous wigs? Do you think that's going to be the start of magic coming back, or is that going to be another hindrance to it?
That's going to be the peak of making fun of magic.
Oh,
and then
okay.
After that, I think
everybody's going to be
out. I'm excited for that movie. It looks funny. But after that, what can you really say? And
right.
Then magicians are going to have to look inside themselves and say, we got to change.
Either kill themselves or bring it.
We can't be a punchline anymore.
Right, sure.
Yeah, that's smart. No, that's you could be right. You're not, but you could be right. Nathan, now, the thing about you and your show, and we'll talk more about the show in a minute. We have to take a break here in a minute, but it's unbelievable. You're, yeah. I know it's sad. You're in real-time situations. I mean, none of these people on your show that you go in, like the businesses that you go into, quote-unquote, help. None of these people are actors. They're not. There's no script. I mean, this is really you interacting with the people, right?
Yeah, we go into all real businesses and also, yeah, and we come to them with very out-of-the-box, crazy ideas.
How did you come up with the idea for the show?
Like, well, I used to work on a show in Canada, and I did scenes with real people where I would come in and kind of just interview an expert as a standalone scene.
Right.
So this was kind of drawing from my real experience in business, and I always find the business world really funny, and marketing is very fun to make fun of.
Marketing would be fun, and it would be fun to make fun of, but
yes.
But do owners in general have a sense of humor?
Owners of these businesses?
Of these businesses, yeah, because it seems
like... I mean,
like,
sometimes, but the funny thing is, like, our ideas...
Are
they
so
will,
absurd.
They're so absurd, but they will usually work in some capacity. So it's funny because you see on their faces that they often want to try these things out partially because they maybe think it has an inkling of worth, but also that they don't want to hurt my feelings.
Yeah, yeah, because you seem like a nice kid.
Right, and also the joke, we do a lot to make sure they're never, we're not harming their business, so, you know, the joke is not on the owners, the joke is on, I think, how people gather around, you know, weird, the people who congregate around, you know,
weirdness.
Weird deals, yeah. And marketing things, and, you know, I like to get into uncomfortable moments with people, but...
You do that.
Yes, you do.
I'm never really... The joke isn't that this person's dumb or anything, because we're pretty upfront with what we're doing. Well, not... In terms of what, you know...
In general terms.
Wow.
In general terms,
right.
Yeah.
There's a lot of backtracking going on here.
I mean, I myself, I'm not a character. I'm not, like, lying about who I am or what my background is.
Right.
Like I say, we couldn't hear the
intro.
The
comedy element, yeah.
Kevin, I know we have to take a break right now, but since this is such a beautiful setup to the kinds of business ideas that Nate brings into the room, can you play the clip about one of the things that we'll see on Nathan for You tonight on Comedy Central?
My mission was to fill Yogurt Haven with customers. My plan? A crazy new flavor that will get people talking. That flavor is poo.
Is that serious?
Yeah. The media responds to controversy. We know that. I feel like a poo yogurt flavor might be a news story. If people read the paper, could bring like hundreds of thousands of people in here maybe, or...
Just to try that flavor?
Yes.
Of poo?
Yes.
It would work on me. It would. I swear to God, that would work on me.
You would never try that, Kevin. If somebody told
you
this tastes like ish, you would not want to put it in your mouth.
Of course I would. It's not something I would want to make a steady diet of, but you would have to try it just out of curiosity.
If you found out that a frozen yogurt shop
yes.
had a poo flavor, you might go and scope it out.
No question.
You might not try it.
I would.
You might take a little sip or lick.
Teaspoon or whatever.
Whatever, not sip. But then you try another flavor and you buy something else.
And maybe mix the two.
But obviously, you know.
Do
they have nuts? Do
they have nuts?
Nuts.
At this yogurt shop?
You don't want to put nuts in the poo-flavored yogurt, right. Kevin. You really don't.
All right.
Lisa, he goes to a company that makes any flavor and has them make
that.
A poo flavor. That happens.
And he says,
they serve
is this edible?
That.
And they're like, absolutely.
Oh, my God. It's so crazy. You'll see that and much, much more tonight. Nathan for you on Comedy Central at 10:30 right after the Ben Show. More with our guest, Nathan Fielder, in a moment here on The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Remember yesterday when we were telling you if you like The Kevin and Bean Show, you'll love The Ben Show with Ben Hoffman, which airs on Comedy Central tonight at 10. Well, ditto for the show that follows it, premiering tonight at 10:30 called Nathan for You. And the star of that show, Nathan Fielder, in studio with us right now here on K-Rock. Yeah, definitely our sensibility, Nathan, your sense of humor. And I just I know that you're a professional and you've been doing it a long time. But the fact that you can keep a straight face and not break character with some of the crazy situations. Have you ever ruined a take just because you couldn't stop laughing at how ridiculous something you were saying was?
Yeah, I try not to laugh, but I definitely, you know, there are some times we don't show my face because I'm, you can tell I'm holding back laughter. I love putting myself in situations that make me laugh, right, which is true. Not good for this type of thing, but if I do laugh, it usually means what's happening is funny, so
right.
It's good
and,
in a way.
And you also intentionally put yourself in situations where you know that the people you're interacting with are going to be pissed at you and possibly want to hit you.
Yes, or just super uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Either way, it seems like you love turning the knife a little.
Well, you know what? I think for me, I think growing up, I have had I haven't been the best at recognizing social cues, and sometimes I miss things. Like
Nathan's my man.
Nathan is your man.
So,
do you have Asperger's?
No, I don't.
Bean does. That's why I asked.
Does he?
Yes, he does.
Oh, do
and
you? Really?
And that's one of the signs.
Okay, so Bean will understand right. that, you know, if you don't recognize those. So in the show, I think I play that up a bit. And if someone isn't overt with me and says, I don't want to do this, I don't
you
really
just keep
recognize
going.
That.
So,
which is actually, in a way, a bit more comfortable for me because I don't have to try to read people. And
right.
I know it's for comedic
it's
effect.
For that reason, right. Now, Bean is different in that he wouldn't know that he was doing it.
Right.
You know how you're doing it.
Hey,
well,
listen.
Sometimes.
Are we going to see, of course, you're all over the news right now because of the goat saving the pig saving the goat video. But
right.
Are we going to see that unfold on Nathan for You as well, or is that separate?
Yeah, no, totally. That's something that just happened kind of as a weird accident. One of the ideas we had to help a petting zoo was to make a star animal. So the way to do that, we came up with the idea of faking a viral video where a pig rescues a goat, a baby goat, in a petting zoo pond.
The funniest part of that is where somebody goes, goat in pond.
Goat in the water.
Goat in the water,
yeah.
As if that's like a normal thing people shout.
Well, that's funny because the story came out that was fake. When that came out, it was all over all the news. Like
the original.
Yeah, we just put it online and didn't say anything. And then within a day, it was all over the internet, international news, the NBC news.
And I think this is
ABC.
Fascinating,
it was
Nathan,
crazy.
And I think it speaks a lot to the journalism standards in the time in which we live. And that is that you did get, through the YouTube channel, a lot of news agencies tried to contact you to find out details about it. And you just stonewalled them, right? You didn't respond to anybody. And they took that as, well, it must be true. And everybody put it on the air as a true thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I can't really speak to what they should be doing, but it was surprising how easy it was, you know, to get something on the news and for that to happen. That was pretty crazy, and we were laughing pretty hard.
How many hits did you end up getting on YouTube on the original video? Because I'm sure many of our listeners saw it and thought it was the cutest thing ever, but how big
yeah,
did it get?
Yeah, it still is cute, even if you know it's big.
Yeah.
It got over 7 million views. Oh. And yeah, but the story of what you're saying, goat in the water and stuff, that is, we have the full story in the show, and what was in the New York Times article and all this other stuff didn't even say the full story. And there's a lot of other stuff that happened.
Oh, and is that right?
The person behind that voice who's part of it is part of the show. So
oh,
if you watch
awesome.
The show, that'll be in next week's episode. But if you watch
oh,
that
great.
Show, you'll see a lot more stuff about that video.
Let's play the tape of Brian Williams basically apologizing to the NBC News audience about being hoodwinked over Nathan's video.
And the New York Times has uncovered a story we'll just call Piggate. It was a viral video back in September that purported to show a pig rescuing a goat from a pond. And it rocketed all over the world at the time on a ton of websites, a lot of different broadcasts, including this one. And while we said at the time we had no way of knowing it was real, despite checking, we now know it wasn't. We can all thank Comedy Central for the hard work of a crew of 20 people, including scuba divers, animal trainers, and humane officers. So well done there.
That's like a guy giving you props that doesn't want to.
Yeah.
Sort of. You can tell he kind of found it funny that it... ended up getting on the news. So
that's awesome.
He seems
By
like
the
a
way,
good guy.
He couldn't have given our man Nathan Fielder a shout out. Would it have killed him to give him a name check? Come on.
Yeah, come on.
Come on.
Right.
Come on. Well, listen, we're out of time, Nathan, but we heartily endorse your program.
It is, you got to be kidding me.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Just we got started.
We got Dr. Drew on the phone. We got to talk to him next.
Oh, yes. He is more important.
He is. Nathan, for you is the show. You will love it. It premieres tonight at 10:30 on Comedy Central. Please come back and see us again, sir.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. This was fun.
You bet. Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat in Minutes. Then Jimmy Johnson, winner of this year's Daytona 500. Actually, the second time he's won that, joins us just after the top of the hour. First, though, it's our weekly visit with Dr. Drew, who pretty much is on HLN. I don't know, what are you working, about 12 hours a day on the TV right now, Drew?
Yeah, it's pretty intense. This case has captured the HLN imagination.
It has, and I kind of made the active decision to avoid this case because I'm so tired of these cable news cases that they trump up and turn into important when they're not. This is just a woman who killed a dude, right? Allegedly.
Well, first of all, how dare you?
Second of all, it's great TV.
It's just a woman who killed this dude.
But I mean, aren't there cases just like this one going on in every state in the union right now, but they just happen to choose this one because they've got it on tape?
Well, that's right. I mean, there's aspects of this that make it almost impossible to look away. I mean, it's this pretty woman who engaged in this brutal slaughter. I mean, we see what she did to this guy. I mean,
Dr. Drew, tell people who don't know the story.
Right. This is a woman who was sort of obsessed with a guy. He was a sort of a salesman type guy and apparently a nice guy, and everyone loved him. And he was a Mormon. She converted to Mormonism on his behalf, and together they were doing naughty things. She was recording these unbelievable sex tapes they were having that have now appeared in court and terrible text messages back and forth. One day when he was trying to break up with her, again, she came and crawled in his house through his doggy door. Then she came and slashed his tires, and then she came and slashed him up.
She stabbed him
29 times.
29 times.
And basically cut his head off.
Shot him in the face and then cut his head off.
Yeah.
Wow.
In self-defense.
And she's claiming it's in self-defense, right?
Are you kidding me?
She's saying self-defense. She went on multiple media outlets over the years that she was in prison prior to the trial, telling these elaborate lies. I mean, so here she is on television looking demure and so innocent, telling these just outright bold-faced lies, and she's saying the reason she did that, she intended to kill herself.
Now,
she
said there were two ninjas that came and did it, right?
At one point, that was
dressed as ninjas.
Ninja.
Really, you can't come up with a better lie than that?
They were just outrageous lies, and so the prosecutor now is saying, you know, why do we believe you now? Now the story is, you know what, he tried to kill me. I grabbed for a gun. If you've ever seen the play Chicago and the movie Chicago,
uh-huh,
it's exactly that story. We both reached for the gun. We struggled. I shot him in the face, and then he tried to attack me after I shot him in the head.
And I guess the twin fascination for the Jody Arias case on HLN is that, A, she just looks like a young, sweet girl that you might see behind the desk at a library or something like that. And you can't believe that somebody like that could be capable of such a brutal murder. And B, we're all just so fascinated with what kinds of sex people have and what they do and what they say. And the fact that there's so much of that they can read in court just makes it, no pun intended, titillating, right?
That I know it's hard for you to imagine being. And that, and the fact that she lies so wildly, and she does it with such impunity that the question I keep getting when I do sort of the rounds is, how can somebody lie like that? How could that possible? How could she think like this? And then also the magnitude. I've been wanting to show my HLN audience the autopsy pictures because they haven't shown them yet on television. And when you see the brutality of the slaughter, they still haven't been shown yet. But you look at that and you just go, oh, come on, don't be silly. This is like, this woman is really deranged.
So, Dr. Drew, is there a possibility that self-defense is going to work for her?
You know, they're saying, I've been interviewing people in the courtroom who are saying that some of the jurors seem to be sort of sympathetic towards her, particularly the women. It's interesting. The women keep saying, oh, she's so flirtatious and she's so sexy. And every male hears that and goes, are you kidding me? This is the more she talks, the more grotesque, the more weirded out we get by this woman. So the men have turned. Hmm. But some of the women seem to be sympathetic, not only to sort of her story, because she tells an elaborate story of having been abused by her dad and other boyfriends and now this boyfriend, but also the way the prosecutor is badgering her. They're badgering her to the point that people start to feel sorry for her.
Isn't that interesting?
Could that be a misstep by the prosecution?
That's what other attorneys are saying, that they should have gone in, just cut her to pieces with her ridiculous stories in about 6 hours and then gotten out and gotten right. Made a decision.
Well, she's clearly not hot enough to be that crazy. I mean, that's a bad combination. My penis just curls up inside of me when I see somebody this crazy. I don't want to have anything to do with her. I'm sorry.
That's how the men are reacting. Yeah. And they're just quickly scrolling through their own histories going, oh, my God, am I lucky?
I rarely am, but I'm with the men on this one. All right, Dr. Drew is going to be covering this and all the other great stories of the day at weeknights at 9 on HLN. And let me put out a shout-out one more time for all the great new podcasts you've been doing. You had one with Jim Jeffries yesterday. I can't wait to hear. I mean, you really – I don't know how you have time to do it all, Dr. Drew, but you're churning them out, my friend.
Thank you. I'm loving the podcasting. It really is a very liberating experience.
Yeah, it's super good. Doctor, thanks for the time as always, man. So is it Stryker or Brad or Omar? Who's doing the showbiz now? Who's
Ralph Garman is back today.
Ralph is filling in for Ralph Garman today. Ralph Garman. Fantastic. What's going on?
A lot of stuff.
Okay.
Like?
My legs are sore.
Ralph rode
my
a
legs
horse.
Are very sore.
For a TV show.
Yeah.
He's walking like he's just been in prison for 6 months.
You forget how sedentary you are until you have to do a bunch of physical stuff for 3 days in a row. And I was playing a U.S. Marshal on this comedy Western TV show this week. And today I got up and I can't walk and my shoulder's all jacked up and my fingers are sore. And I don't even know what the hell I was doing. I just know I was doing a bunch of stuff that
you
apparently
were holding on for
I don't
dear life.
Do regularly. And now I'm just like, I can barely move. I don't know what's going on.
Did you get to shoot a gun, Ralph?
I got to carry and pull a gun, but I never actually got to fire at anything.
They didn't trust you.
Well, I didn't have to shoot anybody in the storyline. I don't have to shoot anybody.
Should have started just shooting randomly.
That's
though,
right. You shoot anyway just because you
threatened some people, but I never got a chance to pull the trigger and actually sink a blue whistler into someone. You know what I'm saying?
Now he's rocking a soul patch, by the way.
Well, that's the cowboy
stash in this. A little under the lip.
It's the cowboy gunslinger look. You
yeah.
Know, with the longer stash and then the soul patch. Like in, have you ever seen Tombstone?
Sure.
Val Kilmer rocks it in Tombstone. So does Johnny Ringo in Tombstone.
I'm going to show you rock it.
So cool. I'm destroying this
You're wearing
look.
It.
Are you kidding me? Destroying
You're
this
You're owning
look.
It. I'll give you that.
The women are just lining up saying, hey.
I don't think that's true.
What's give me some of that, soul patch.
Well, you'll let us know when that airs,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll be talking about it more in September when it airs. Meanwhile, while we're talking about TV shows, it's almost my favorite time of year, right around the corner. What's today? The 28th?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow.
Yes.
I guess it starts tomorrow.
Tomorrow's March 1st.
Paley Fest 2013. This is the remarkable series done by the Paley Center for Radio and Television and good stuff like that. It used to be known as the Museum of Television and Radio. They do a yearly festival where they sit down with the cast and creators of your favorite TV shows, and you get to join in and ask questions and watch them talk. It's a great series if you're a TV geek like I am. It's at the Saban Theater every year in Beverly Hills. And a great lineup this year, including tickets for the TV show that I'll be giving away right now. Community. How about Community?
How about Community?
You're fans of Community, aren't you?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you like to see Joel and the rest of the gang talk about the behind-the-scenes machinations of that show? Talk about a show with a lot going on.
No
More
kidding.
Goes on behind the scenes in that show than goes on the show. So if you'd
if
like...
you're asking me if I'd like to be in the same room as Alison Brie, yes, I would.
Yeah. How about Gillian, what's her
yes.
name?
Yes, yes, yeah, her as well.
I don't remember her last name, but
Jacobs.
Anyway, Jacobs, that's it. Happening March 5th at the Saban Theater in Beverly Hills. If you are a Community fan and you would love to go, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Let's say caller number 13, since it is Paley Fest 2013. Caller number 13, if you're a Community fan, you will win a pair of tickets to attend the Evening with Community. Thanks to the folks at the Paley Center. You can go to paleycenter.org. for more information. And I believe some tickets are still available for some of the evenings. They usually sell out pretty quick, so there may be some tickets available if you want to look at the lineup and maybe join in on the fun. More TV news. Remember when you were 15?
Yes.
Is this thing on? Hello?
Well, I
couldn't realize it's a more simple question.
But I thought it was rhetorical.
Yeah, I thought that it was. There's more. Well, how about playing along?
Okay, yes.
Okay, you're 15 years
right,
old. Thank
15.
You. At least Kevin showed up today. Right. He's on Ambien or whatever it is, but at least he's here.
You.
You're 15 years old. Remember
yes.
when you got your $6 million contract? Didn't that happen to you when you were 15?
I don't think so.
Ariel Winter, who plays Alex Dunphy on the popular TV comedy Modern Family, she had just signed a new gig for that TV series. She'll be getting $6 million to play middle child Alex Dunphy over the next few seasons.
Wow.
So that's her new deal.
Nice.
At 15.
Yeah.
Things, by the way, also going very, very well for Ariel these days. She had a bit of a rough patch there. Remember her mother... reportedly emotionally abused her, and
that's right.
Child services had to step in and remove her from her home. She's been staying with her older sister, Chanel Gray. She was granted temporary guardianship of Ariel last December, and apparently things are working out great there in a new home. She's got a positive attitude, looking forward to going to high school for the first time, and all is well in her world.
High
oh, and did I mention?
For the first time.
She's also, yeah, she's not, hasn't been in high school yet.
Oh my God.
And she has to, you know, get that $6 million at 15.
Yeah.
What would I do at 15 if I made $6 million?
I guarantee I would be dead by 17.
Yeah, that's
I know
that's
probably true.
We all would. Honey Boo Boo star Alana Thompson is selling Girl Scout cookies on the internet. This is genius, by the way. She is a little Girl Scout, and she's selling her cookies like many Girl Scouts do. But she's doing it on her Facebook page, and you can buy her Girl Scout cookies from her on her Facebook page. Each shipment of cookies comes with an autographed picture of the Here Comes Honey Boo Boo family. Not to mention Honey Boo Boo's signature on every box. So,
wow.
Little Anna will sign every box that she ships out.
She can write?
Well, she puts her X on there.
Okay. She's like seven.
Puts
Kevin.
Her X
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I know,
on,
Bean. I've
on
seen
the
her.
Thin Mint right there. Here's my signature.
I don't think Mom could write.
Daily News from New York is reporting that some Girl Scouts are objecting to Alana's marketing techniques because they claim it spoils the spirit of enterprise. I say just the opposite. It is the most enterprising marketing genius I've seen ever regarding Girl Scouts.
It doesn't seem fair to say to the Girl Scouts, hey, we need the money from this product, go out and sell it. Oh, wait, not you. You're selling too many. That doesn't seem fair.
But they always say it's supposed to be a teaching experience, too. It teaches the girls about confidence and enterprise and business and things. It teaches them life lessons. And some Girl
Rejection.
Scouts are saying that it's not the case because she's taking advantage of her fame, which I say, look, that's part of business. Take advantage of what your strong suit is, right?
Sure.
If she can sell more cookies by throwing in an autographed picture, then so be it.
A dollar makes me holler, Honey Boo Boo.
I prefer that than the parents who come in and say, hey, my kid's selling cookies. Buy cookies off of me, won't you?
Ralph yells at him, have your kid come in.
Let the kid do the kid thing.
It is a learning experience
That's
for them.
What
There's
they
a
say.
Point to it.
You know what they're learning? Mom and dad will sell my stuff for me and I can right. sit home and play video games. That's what they learn. Don't get me started on that again. It's that season. Oh, boy. Today's celebrity birthday is John Turturro from Big Lebowski and Quiz Show and many other feature films. 56 years old today. Ray Dawn Chong. Daughter of Tommy, but a fine actress in her own right. Quest for Fire, Color Purple, 52 years old. Robert Sean Leonard of House. And then when he was a kid, Dead Poets Society, 44 years old. Pat Monahan of Train is 44. Allie Larder from Heroes. And Resident Evil is 37 years old today. Leap Day birthdays, people born on the
29th. Merry Leap Day, sir! Merry Leap Day to us all!
So these people don't get to celebrate the birthdays.
He's been holding on to that one for 4 years.
Once every 4 years, so we're going to celebrate him anyway. Mark Foster of Foster the People, great band, 29 years old today. And Simone Gagné, formerly of the Los Angeles Kings, now a Philadelphia Flyer. His first game back with the Flyers, he scored last night in a 4-1 victory over the Caps.
So. Kings didn't need him, won the cup.
Congratulations. He's 33 years old today. They could use him this year. It's a brand new year.
Five in a row, man.
Yeah, I know. Congrats. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kevin, you're always talking about what a fantastic driver you are.
Yeah.
You're always talking about how you're the guy who's never slowing traffic down because you're the guy who's going 80 wherever he's going, no matter what the neighborhood.
I'm just saying I'm a good driver, that's all.
Why don't you get into NASCAR? Maybe that's the answer. You can drive as fast as you want for as long as you can go.
Easy.
Sure, it looks way easy. What about Jimmy Johnson, who is a five-time NASCAR Sprint Cup Series champion, driving number 48 Lowe's Chevrolet, and a two-time Daytona 500 winner, including the Great American Race this past Sunday? Jimmy Johnson, back on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I need a little sleep. Other than that, life is good.
I know. This week has been ridiculous. I mean, when you win the Daytona 500, it's like, you know, winning the Kentucky Derby or whatever. You just, all of a sudden, you just get flown to New York and they put you on every show with a microphone, right?
Man, we've been Florida, Connecticut, New York, Dallas, L.A., Vegas, L.A., and then to Phoenix.
Do you think
it's been nuts.
Do you think that because you've won it twice, they're trying to kill you with the schedule?
Maybe some of the competitors are doing it. But honestly, the awareness of this year's Daytona 500 is unlike anything I've seen since I've been in the sport. So I'm real happy that I've won the race and been able to talk about our great sport and the victory I had.
Well, you're absolutely right, Jimmy, and unfortunately, part of the reason for the raised awareness and the higher rating Sunday was because we all saw on the news what happened on Saturday, and I know that that's a real risk in your sport at any time that an accident like that could happen, but, I mean, that one was pretty extraordinary in terms of how much went over the fence, right?
Yeah, that was crazy. I mean, I was sitting in my motorhome watching the race on television and heard this huge explosion, and then the television broadcast caught up to it, and I saw it. I couldn't believe, what happened, and fortunately, everybody's improving. I think there are 28 people injured.
A tire flew into the crowd, for those of you that didn't see it.
Yeah, a tire ripped the car in half. The engine was sitting up near the grandstands, and then all the components on the car and the shards from the impact went out and hit some people. So, everybody's working hard to figure out what can we do, how can we prevent this in the future. Since so many safety things brought along to make cars safer, the fans safer, but we can't stop. We got to continue to make it safe.
They were closing in on the finish line, right? Does it get crazy like that, just not quite as extreme every time you're closing in on the finish line?
Well, that type of racing is different. I mean, years ago, I think in the 80s, Bobby Allison blew a tire and crashed, and his car took flight and went into the catch fence, and something very similar happened. So they started putting restrictor plates on the cars to slow us down so they wouldn't take flight in a crash. Well, we've had that under control pretty well until Saturday, and it really was the perfect crash where the crash started, another vehicle was hit, and it pushed it up into the air and then took flight and got into the fence. So it was a crazy, crazy deal.
You've been in some crashes in your long career, including one back in the 90s that people still talk about. But I imagine they make advancements all the time in figuring out how to make the car come apart in the safest possible way in the event of trouble, right?
Yeah, as far as crushing and collapsing, for sure.
So they're looking in every way they can to make it safer, and it's just something like this happens, and it comes out of the blue, and you got to start again and say, what can we do to stop it?
Yeah, I mean, we have to figure out something. I mean, the track, most recently, I guess in 2010, made some changes to the catch fence, and those changes really did the job. The hard part is to figure out the debris field. How do you contain the debris field and not let it get in the grandstands? You go to a hockey game, and there's the plexiglass boards that are there.
Sure.
Is there something like that that we can invent and design to keep debris from getting into the stands?
Right. Jimmy Johnson on the phone with us back again on the Kevin and Bean Show. He just won the Daytona 500 over the weekend. He'll be racing in the Subway Fresh Fit 500 in Phoenix this weekend on Sunday on Fox Sports. How much of a difference, forgive me if this is a rookie question, Jimmy, but how much of a difference is there track to track? Obviously, there are some tracks that every driver prefers, but I mean, tell me about that. Tell me about the difference between racing, say, last weekend in Daytona and this weekend in Phoenix.
That's huge. Daytona is a 2.5 mile track. Phoenix is a 1 mile track. Daytona, we have the restrictor plates on the engines, which takes about half the horsepower away. And this week we'll be back to almost 900 horsepower under our foot. So,
wow.
The car drives totally different. The rules are actually different as well for NASCAR.
Are the banks different too? Like when you're going around corners and stuff, do they build them all a little bit different?
Oh yeah, yeah. In between Phoenix and Daytona, they're much different. Phoenix is relatively flat, where Daytona has, I think, 32 degrees of banking in the turns.
Why is it so hard to win Daytona twice? It seems like that's the impossible thing to do, and you do it, and then everybody goes, wow, he did it not back to back, but twice. How come it's so difficult?
It's our biggest race. I mean, everybody brings their A game. The draft there is different. I mean, your own skills and techniques are needed. But you race in that pack, and what people do in the pack affect your race and sometimes, you know, you're caught up in crashes that aren't your fault, so you're out of the race, and then if they decide to draft someone else in the closing laps and not you, you can fall from leading all the way to 20th or 30th if, you know, the pack's still real big. So there's just a lot of variables.
How is it settling with you all the Danica Patrick attention, especially as a result of her strong finish this past weekend? Do you guys kind of roll your eyes at it, or are you grateful for it because it's bringing more people to the sport, Jimmy?
Well, definitely grateful for it. And I was real proud of her on Sunday. I mean, there was a lot of hype over the pole, and I mean, that's one lap, and a lot of people were pointing that out. But when, you know, you watch her go out there and run for 500 miles with the leaders all day long, you can't ignore that. She did an awesome job. I think that the track's coming up, that even this weekend, it's going to be a big challenge for her, and she needs to adapt to the techniques required there. But restrictor plate racing, she did great, and she's a legitimate threat at the four plate tracks we race on each year.
You did a Reddit AMA yesterday, and it was fascinating to see. I was fascinated to see the types of questions that people asked you, and I know you couldn't answer all of them, but I want to ask you one that somebody wrote in that you didn't get to, Jimmy, which is, do you make racing noises when you're driving? Because I can totally picture you doing that when you pass people.
No, that's pretty good, though.
Can you imagine if Jimmy's by the wheel going, vroom, vroom, vroom?
Yeah, I don't see that.
I love it. And what's the purpose of the camera that you have in your car? Because I saw that video that you tweeted yesterday, too, that was awesome of you, you know, when you realize you won the race and you got your fist in the air and stuff. Why do you have that in there? What's that used for usually?
That's for the television broadcast. So Fox put an in-car camera in my vehicle, and I think they did it by 10 or 12 guys or girls even put it in the race cars and use it for the television broadcast. They're nice enough to put a clip together that we sent out to show the last couple laps with all of our fans.
Is it easy to forget about that once you start racing, or is it you're always...
Oh, yeah. You don't know it's there. And my crew chief reminds me prior to the race that it's been there, because every now and then I'll get a little aggressive with my hands and maybe some single-finger salutes, and you have to remember that there's an in-car camera.
Jimmy, camera.
Yeah. You don't want to pick your nose at a slow minute or something like that, because that's the last thing you need. All right. Well, it's always great to catch up with you. Congratulations. I mean, it's one of the toughest sports there is. It's crazy that that you've won that race twice, and I wish you a great season. You can watch Fox Sports at noon Sunday, the Phoenix International Raceway, for the Subway Fresh Fit 500. Jimmy, always a pleasure to have you on, sir. Thanks for the time.
Awesome. Thank you.
I can make a song if it's just going to be kids singing.
Sure.
Right?
You got kids.
Right.
Have them sing for you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:40.
John writes in, Dear Kevin and Bean, I know some people will make fun of you guys for having a NASCAR driver on. I, for one, thought it was a great interview. Thanks, Mark and Brian. So there you go. Got a little love.
Yeah,
appreciate that. Ralph is here now. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Thursday.
Anybody want to own a little piece of Jennifer Lawrence?
Yeah, I know I do.
Like a bigger,
I'd like to
bigger piece.
Rent a piece of Jennifer Lawrence.
I want to own it. Her Silver Linings Playbook wardrobe is going up for auction. Nate D. Sanders Auctions here in Los Angeles will be selling the actual costume she wore throughout that film, including the black wool coat she wore for the majority of the film. But more importantly, the sports bra and shirt that she wore during the dance rehearsals with co-star Bradley Cooper when she got all sweaty. More importantly, the pants she wore in the big dance competition at the end of the movie, also up
Take it easy.
For auction.
Take it easy.
Too much. I'm Mr. Creepy, and I'm creeped out by this. This is uncomfortable.
You wouldn't want to wear those
Please.
Pants she wore so well in the big finale number.
Yep. I'm not into used sweaty clothing. Actually, I'm really not. Of course you are. I'm really not.
But of course you are.
Stop.
Just saying.
Lisa, are you uncomfortable with this entire discussion?
Creepy alert.
It's not gross. When
gross.
It comes off of Jennifer Lawrence, it's magical.
Icky.
It's like, finding the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
Oh, dear God.
A little leprechaun jumps out of her vagina.
Is that right?
Yes, and awards you with magical things. So you can go to Nate D. Sanders Auctions if you want to start bidding on that clothing. But good luck. You'll have to outbid me.
You're not bidding.
Me and Jack Nicholson. Yeah, that's right.
You think Jack's going to... Jack's got his own.
Jack's well interested in in Jennifer Lawrence. She was talking to George Stephanopoulos from Good Morning America on ABC immediately after her Oscar win on Sunday night. They sat down for a one-on-one interview, and who would stick his head in and interject and hit on Jennifer Lawrence herself, but none other than the legend, Mr. Jack Nicholson. Here's a little audio from when he showed up unannounced on the set of their interview.
I hope you got a fan here.
Such a beautiful job.
Thank you.
Don't make me crush it.
Yeah, you're being really rude. I loved all your movies. Oh, really? Do I look like a new girl, Ruth?
I thought of it.
Is he still here?
I'll be waiting.
Oh, my God.
In case you couldn't hear it, Jack comes up and compliments her on her work, but also says, "You look like an old girlfriend of mine." To which she responds, "Oh, really? Do I look like a new girlfriend?" He responds, "I thought about it." Then she starts flushing and getting blushing and giggling, and she turns around. There he is again, saying, "I'll be waiting."
Is he gone?
You know, he just sat out there in the limo with the door open, and she hopped in.
Yep.
Next thing you know.
He doesn't need to buy any clothes at auction.
Took her
he's
down
got
to
him.
Chinatown. You know what I'm saying? It's Chinatown, Jake.
Right, that's a movie.
Yeah, it sure is.
50 years ago.
Then he sold off her pants. It all worked out for everyone.
To Bean.
We may now know who the next Bachelorette's going to be. I'm so excited. It's going
to
happen in May.
I kick your ass for wasting my time.
It's going to happen in May. We'll find out for sure at the end of the... after the Final Rose special, which they always have the post-Bachelor
You're
special.
Talking to us as if we care.
After we find out who Sean chooses. Will it be Catherine?
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
Or will it be that other girl who's not Catherine?
Sounds like you might have a favorite, Ralph.
Yeah, it's going to be Catherine. I'm guessing Catherine. But it looks like...
Nobody cares.
Desiree, our very own L.A.-based bridal designer. Desiree may, in fact, be tapped to be the Bachelorette for... the season starting in May. And
not interested.
It'll be awesome because she's like a cuter, sexier, funnier Katie Holmes type.
Not interested.
She's adorable. And everyone loves
Ain't
her.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Everyone has time for that. So it's very exciting news. She was
Who cares favorite. What you think? Nobody.
She was Petros' favorite too, by the way. We both
not interested.
Soft spot for Desiree.
Let me break it down for you. Nobody cares.
More TV news. The animated hit comedy Archer has been renewed for a fifth season by FX. That's good news for us. Who are Archer fans. Also good news for Judy Greer, who's a regular on that show. I know she's a fan of ours. And it's very, very funny. If you're not watching Archer on FX, you're a fool. Start watching. It is the number 2 rated show on cable.
What?
Behind The Walking Dead for young men aged 18 to 34.
Really?
That's the prime demo, and they are right up there with The Walking Dead for it. So good news for fans. Johnny Depp has announced his next 2 films, and remarkably, neither one includes the word pirate in it. After he's done with The Lone Ranger, he will be dropping into a sci-fi thriller called Transcendence, where this is like Bean's hottest, wettest dream come true.
Oh, tell me.
Johnny Depp will play a scientist whose brain is uploaded into a supercomputer.
Perfect.
That's what Bean wants to
Bean wants to be uploaded.
Yeah.
He wants to leave behind his gangly spina bifida body, and he wants to be uploaded into a computer.
We want that to happen as well.
Yes, we do. And then another film, he starts right after that, will be set place in Boston. He'll play the part of Whitey Bulger in a new movie called Black Mass about the controversial mobster. So, a lot of work coming up for Johnny. I'm glad to see he's finally getting some work.
That is good.
Poor kid never gets a break.
That Whitey Bulger story is fascinating. So fascinating. I've been reading some of the book. I mean, that could be a great movie. It has everything.
And another cast member has been added to the Spider-Man sequel. Of course, been talking that Jamie Foxx will be playing Electro. Paul Giamatti has been tapped as the Rhino. Now it looks like Chris Cooper will take on the role originally played by Willem Dafoe in the earlier film. Norman Osborn, the mogul who eventually turns into the villain, the Green Goblin. We're guessing Green Goblin will not appear in this film. This is probably just setting the groundwork for another film where the Green Goblin will rear his ugly green head. But it looks like Chris Cooper taking on that role.
He's awesome in everything.
He is an awesome actor. It's good stuff. It's going to be a great cast for this new Spider-Man movie.
Sounds like it.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. These stars were born on February the 28th. John Turturro from The Big Lebowski and Quiz Show and Do the Right Thing. Boy, what a career he's had.
Yep.
56 years old. Ray Dawn Chong from The Color Purple and Quest for Fire is 52. She's also the daughter of Tommy Chong. Think she smokes weed?
Nope.
Or think she rebelled against her parents like everyone else does?
I doubt it. Right? I doubt there was that rebellion.
Robert Sean Leonard from House and Dead Poets Society is 44 years old. Pat Monahan of Train turns 44. Ali Larder from Heroes and Resident Evil is 37. Antonio Sabato Jr. from General Hospital in Bold and the Beautiful. He was born on the 29th, but
most people born on a leap day celebrate today. He's 41 years old. Simone Gagné, 33 years old today. He, of course, was a forward for the Los Angeles Kings.
Sort of.
But now he's a forward for the Philadelphia Flyers, where he also played for like 8 years. 33 years old today, and Mark Foster of Foster the People is 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show, the LA Galaxy begin their season on Sunday at 2. We're going to talk to Omar Gonzalez. How dare you? How
are we out of sports?
Dare you, sir?
All the other sports?
Also, you got in trouble with a
photo. I thought NASCAR was it. I thought we had done all the sports we could do when we got to NASCAR.
Also, you got in trouble with a photo on Facebook. You put a photo on Facebook, and it caused you grief. That is tomorrow morning. And we have the first interview the Pope is giving with his first free day. Today's his last
day.
Wow. He bailed out of the Vatican today. Gone.
Tonight at 8, I think it is.
Is that it? Tonight at 8? He's a free man.
Yeah, he wants to catch... I don't know, whatever's on tonight at 8 o'clock. <on television. laughs> Something very important to him.
I hear he's a big Shark Tank fan.
Yeah, that's what it is, Shark Tank, yeah.
And we've got the movie beat tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.